You're listening to a podcast from Media Access Australia, Inclusion Through Technology.
I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Hollier, Media Access Australia's Specialist Advisor, Digital Accessibility. And today's focus is on the accessibility of augmented reality. That may sound like a bit of a mouthful, but think the hugely popular Pokemon Go, and you'll be on the right track. Scott, this was the topic of your October 2016 WC3 column, and you drew on your own personal experience as a legally blind person when reviewing the accessibility of this new gameplay sensation. So what were your initial impressions when it first hit the market?
Well, as you say, Philip, the game has been exceedingly popular everywhere it's been launched, and I was actually on a holiday with my family in Japan just before its launch there and when it was already out in Australia, and there was certainly a lot of hype and excitement. So when I returned to Australia, I naturally wanted to give it a go. So I travelled around my local neighbourhood with my kids, and whilst it was a lot of fun and I could certainly understand the appeal of the game, and it was a great bonding experience also for the family, there were a number of accessibility issues, and it became quite clear that while the game was certainly popular and very exciting and innovative, from an accessibility standpoint, unfortunately, there were some problems.
So where does Pokemon go, or fail to go, in terms of accessibility?
I think the biggest issue is that it wouldn't have taken much to make the game accessible, and this is really notable by the fact that if you're using a screen reader, or if you need apps to be in high contrast, or you want to use accessibility features built into your device, then unfortunately they really don't work, and it wouldn't have taken much to make the game more engaging. So, for example, when you're walking around, it would have been very easy to have provided to a screen reader some instructions about turning left, turning right, going straight ahead, like we're quite familiar when we're using a GPS when driving. And also, when actually hunting Pokemon itself, when a Pokemon appears in front of you, it could have given you some instructions, for example, to move your phone maybe up a bit, down a bit, left a bit to try to catch the Pokemon. So there could have been some very simple, basic things that could have really helped to improve accessibility. Certainly here I'm talking from a vision impaired context because of my own experience. But more broadly, I think that there was a missed opportunity here in terms of contrast, in terms of compatibility with assistive technologies that could have made the game available to everyone.
Okay, so how easy would it be for Nintendo to make the necessary accessibility fixes so that Pokemon Go can go where the wider audience is?
Well, the great thing is that Nintendo and other developers do have a lot of resources to draw on if they do want to improve things. One of the great things that I looked at in the column is that Able Gamers, which is a great web resource in terms of accessibility, they have their own standards in terms of what you need to do to make sure that a game is accessible. So there is a lot of information out there for Nintendo and other companies who are working in this space to focus on making things accessible across a range of disabilities, be it mobility, where we look at multiple ways of controlling, be it vision, whereas we're just saying to make sure that technologies like screen readers can engage effectively, and for hearing, where, for example, if there's dialogue in a game, having captions and having those captions adjustable in font size and other things like that. So there are a number of great options to improve the accessibility of gaming, and there's a lot of games that do that, but unfortunately there's a lot that don't. And augmented reality is particularly important because there's a lot of exciting potential benefits for people with disabilities using augmented reality, and so accessibility is even more important as games like Pokemon Go introduce us to the idea of augmented reality.
Okay, and on that subject, what exactly is augmented reality?
It's a great question. And look, ultimately, augmented reality is, and you often hear virtual reality and augmented reality mentioned in the same breath. Virtual reality is basically when you are completely immersed in a computer environment. So you might, say, put on a headset and everything you see and hear is a computerized environment. But augmented reality combines a computerized environment with the real world. So in the case of Pokemon Go, you're in a situation where through your phone, you can see from your phone's camera the real world, but overlaid on that are Pokemon, which you wouldn't be able to see normally, but you can see through your phone. So it's basically a blurring of the lines between the real world and the computer world.
Great. So do you think this is just a fad Or will it be a category of entertainment and indeed innovation that will continue to grow?
I actually think it's both. I think when we're talking about Pokemon Go specifically, it probably is a fad. We've noticed that whilst there's been scenes, I'm sure many people have seen those scenes on the news where people have fallen into lakes or been at sites of criminal activities because they've been paying so much attention to their phone. We've heard lots of news stories about people being really into Pokemon Go. And what we've seen is that as it's been launched around the world, there's been a massive amount of interest initially, but that interest has massively died down. People have lost interest. But when we're talking about augmented reality as a concept, I actually think we're just seeing the beginning of something terrific. And one of the things that I mentioned in the column is that from a disability perspective, augmented reality could have huge potential. I mean, for example, if I used a device like Microsoft's HoloLens, where I can see both the real world and a computerized version of it, potentially I could, say, change an environment into high contrast. I could maybe see maps and directions, something that works with my low vision. I could have screen readers talking to me and giving me instructions. Suddenly there's all sorts of possibilities around navigation, around interaction. Maybe if I'm trying to find someone in the crowd, my augmented reality could instantly point a big arrow to the person I'm looking for example. So there's lots and lots of potential for augmented reality in terms of specifically helping people with disabilities. And because of that, I'm excited to see games like Pokemon Go pop up because I think it introduces us to the idea of augmented reality. While it's not the first game to do it, it's certainly the first, I think, most popular game to do it. And yeah, I think if we can watch this space, lots of great benefits for people with disabilities down the track, but it's important, really important, that developers make sure these things are accessible.
Yes, so the people with vision or hearing or cognitive disabilities have options so they can participate, right?
Absolutely. And so not only is it about participating in these games, but also looking at how these technologies can be applicable to support people in those disability groups and others. So lots of exciting things to come, I think.
That's brilliant. Thank you for your time again today, Scott.
Thank you.
This podcast was presented by mediaaccess.org.au.